So we know about the drones that took out Mr. Awlaki in Yemen, the drones which are constantly deployed in Afghanistan and Pakistan. The U.S. military has increasingly relied upon drones to carry out tactical missions in Afghanistan, in Yemen, and really around the world. But it raises some serious legal and moral questions. If all countries had drone capabilities, what would that mean to the war on terror and to the U.S. capability and even to the safety of people who would suddenly fear invisible little drone remote-controlled planes from overhead? Scott Shane, national security correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, has been dealing with this exact question in an article for the Times over the weekend. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, John.
The drone capability is one thing if pretty much the United States is the only one that has it. But if we start seeing proliferation of drone capability, either surreptitiously, the theft of technology, or even the sharing of technology, the U.S. Among its allies, what happens then, do you think?
Well, I guess it's following a curve that many new military technologies have followed in the past. We, of course, set off the first atomic bomb in 1945 and had a few years before the Soviet Union, then the Chinese, then, you know, other countries acquired nuclear weapons. Going farther back in history to the beginnings of aviation, World War One, sort of similar pattern of spread. We have enjoyed, from a military standpoint, this near monopoly on armed drones, and they have been controversial, but in the view certainly of the U.S. government, very effective against terrorists, and we've sort of had this window in which we've been the only ones doing this on a large scale. That's inevitably going to end, and so it's interesting to ask what the consequences might be.
Well, let's just talk about countermeasures. Is there a battle theater in the world right now where there have been developed any countermeasures, let alone effective countermeasures, for drone strikes? And I guess we begin in Afghanistan, but we could look elsewhere.
Well, there hasn't been much. In the places where these have been used most aggressively, and that would be Afghanistan by the military and Pakistan, the tribal areas of Pakistan by the CIA, there's nothing like, sophisticated air defenses, that kind of thing on the part of the folks that we're fighting against. However, I'm told that a lot of our current air defenses actually would not pick up these drones, oddly enough, because they move slowly. A slow-moving drone does not register on our radar. And some of these drones would actually pose a significant threat even to a developed country like ours.
And the arrest, I know you don't want to talk about this, but the arrest of this individual who was in an FBI sting, who was supposedly going to use a remote-controlled plane, it's not a drone as we know it that the Pentagon has, but even that capability in the minds of terrorists, and as you say, slow-moving drones don't get picked up on radar, I mean, is there any part of the sky that would be safe with the right deployment of this technology?
Well, that guy seemed to have got a lot of the energy for his plotting from the FBI. The FBI, I think, in the end, actually bought him what was really a large hobbyist aircraft, remote-controlled aircraft, sort of like a fairly unsophisticated drone. but it is, it's certainly something that's been widely discussed on jihadi forums on the web and that sort of thing, that you could perhaps turn this technology that the U.S. has used against militants against the U.S.
And we're talking with Scott Shane, national security correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. I know you don't want to comment specifically on this. Wired had this story over the weekend about sort of software vulnerability of the drone technology. What is the most important aspect of this technology? Is it the planes themselves, the remote control devices that operate them, or the software that makes the whole system work?
Well, of course, any of these modern weapon systems that's so dependent on computers and on software are vulnerable to hacking or to viruses. I don't think that the significance of this virus at the drone software out at Creech Air Force Base in Nevada is clear yet. But, you know, one thing that people are talking about is that we have set an example in the world that is, you know, pretty controversial in terms of sending drones across international borders and zapping people, hitting people who we identify as potentially a threat. And I think a lot of people who study this believe that the first sort of crisis in our consideration of this weapon may come when another country takes the same kind of step to go after its enemies using this weapon. For example, if the Chinese were to go after Muslim separatists in their west or over the border in Kazakhstan, or if the Russians were to use it against militants in the Caucasus, you know, essentially following the rules that we have set down, you know, what would we say about that, and would we be in any position to criticize?
And what would that do in terms of enabling or increasing the enthusiasm among non-state players here as well? Scott Shane, that is a chilling thought. Let's conclude with just a discussion of the hardware and software itself. Unlike nuclear devices, which are traceable in a lot of ways and don't look like other things, you know more about this than I do, but in general, it's fair to say that nuclear devices are pretty unique and heavy and hard to hide. It strikes me that these devices are small. They contain a lot of off-the-shelf technology, which could be used for other purposes, and might be much more prone to proliferation surreptitiously than anything like a nuclear device.
Well, that's right. Yeah, of course, there's a whole range of sophistication of these drones. About 50 countries are using drones now, drone aircraft, for surveillance purposes. Most of those can be modified to carry weapons without great difficulty. But, no, it's absolutely true that Iran has, at least in the view of the United States, been struggling for years and years to make a nuclear weapon, for example. Iran has drones. So it's much less difficult to build. As you say, it's much more off-the-shelf technology. And I don't think anyone believes that you can actually control or prevent the proliferation of these weapons.
Wow. Scott Shane, national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, talking about the implications of global proliferation of the drone capability that the U.S. appears to enjoy a monopoly on right now. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.